The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Chidawa, thanks so much for joining us, brother. How are you, mate?
Mate, it's good to be here on this beautiful little afternoon.
I don't get that many Aussies on the podcast, and it's nice to hear. Well, I should say, are you Australian? It sounds like you've got an Australian accent.
Yeah, mate, born and bred.
So we're going to talk about meditation today and the things that you've picked up over the years and studied and taught and incorporated into your life, and I'm very grateful for the connection to delve deep into your wisdom. And I don't even know where to start with you, because there's so many different paths that I want to take in this conversation. But what was coming to me on the way to record today was where we're currently at and how your experience and your knowledge and your wisdom can help people at this really interesting time in human history. And I feel like I could just hand it over to you now and let you just roll, because no doubt over the last 18 months you have probably very well equipped to either stay grounded yourself and to help many others. So over to you, mate, and take us on your journey over the last 18 months and however many decades before.
Well, mate, a couple of key things that have really come to light. I mean, one is, I'm a recovering control freak, right? So I was always very much attached to how things should be and should look and how I wanted them to go. And, you know, the last 80 months has been a great way just to totally smack me across the face and really, really throw into gear all the stuff that I've, you know, supposedly worked on. And it's been a challenge. It's also been one of the most amazing experiences for me personally. And then if we want to also go scale it out a little bit, you know, as a society and a world, we are so heavily being driven into a state of fear, which is an extremely low vibration. And, you know, when we are in a state of fear as a human race, we tend to contract, and then becomes like we divide, we separate. And those two, you know, personally, and then seeing the way the world is going at the moment, having the skills to be able to, one, become less attached and less thrown off when things don't go the way you had in your beautiful plan, which I don't think many people, it's played out that way, and being able to reframe things and take juice out of it, which it sounds all beautiful and it's like, yeah, of course, mate. But when you're in then again a state of fear, it's really, really hard to do that. So then having the tools and ability to step back and look at everything for what it is and not be driven by that state, and also be able to have a level of awareness and compassion for also where everyone else is coming from, because I know that we're in it's becoming more and more, you know, this side almost versus that side, which unfortunately is going to create even more division in us versus them and further fear again. And then the ability to step back and have a level of awareness, I suppose, to understand others as opposed to go straight to judge. And I still get frustrated, right? You have conversations with people and I'm like, well, this is what I think. And they're like, this is what I think. You're like, fuck, like, no, like, this is, and it can be really difficult because, of course, there's a level of ego involved in them not understanding or conforming to your idea of the way things should be, because this is what you're living by now. So it's really, 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 anyone who was already sort of on the verge and struggling a bit with you know, level of how they view the world and their ability to deal with things not going to plan, this last 18 months has really, really, for me, it's shown a big division in those people. There's kind of, you kind of make two choices. So we're getting thrown all this stuff, all this happening. There's a lot of fear and things aren't going to plan. And then people who we were close to suddenly having really strong different views. And it's like, well, where do I stand? You know, what do I do? And then there's been what I've noticed in the last 18 months with the people I've worked with is there's been a really strong, there's choices to be made. There are some people that do retract and kind of just battening down the hatches until things go back to normal and get better again. Then there are the people who are like, okay, I'm going to step into this and see what's there for me and invest my time that I have and my mind into helping me have a better experience of whatever's going on. And you'll see in the next, you know, years to come from this, the people that made what decisions and how they've fared post. So it's been a really, really interesting process to see what's been brought up for me, because I've been doing a lot of work for myself, but it's like, you're in it now, mate. So you got to step in and embody that as well. It's easy to sort of preach it and drop the one-liners and say all this sort of stuff, but when you get thrown in it, you really got to strap the helmet on and get involved yourself. So it's been a really, I've actually quite enjoyed the process of embodying it myself. And you know, sitting loose in the saddle is a nice term. It's been a real, real, and being able to do that has, and I say this with ultimate respect for a lot of people struggling, has provided me with some really, really amazing experiences over the last 18 months. I sort of let go on the grip of how I wanted things to be. So it's been interesting, and it's been interesting to watch which way people sort of tend to go.
I love that. I posted something last night, and I know you'll have a good take on this. And I'll just bring it up very quickly. It's very simple. I actually typed into Google or DuckDuckGo. I said, just typed in, no one is coming to save you. And then I always go to images to see what pops up. And it's very simply, I'll just bring it up to the thing and I'll keep talking so people can see it.
No one is going to save me. Yes. Yep.
And then it says, this life is 100% your responsibility. Because I'm on a lot of different social media. Oh, I shouldn't say many social media platforms, because I've only got one at the moment, which is Telegram. But I'm part of a lot of groups on there, from different doctors that were on the top 12 list of doctors you shouldn't follow type thing that were and surfing groups and cooking groups and the list goes on. And I like to observe. It's something that I've always been fascinated about, watching and observing and being aware of where people are at And I guess it's probably one of my strengths or gifts or something that I was born with. What I do with it, I'm not sure yet, but I do like to observe. And one thing that I've been noticing over the last year and a half is people are waiting for someone to save them. They're waiting for a Trump figure. They're waiting for the police to step up. They're waiting for the doctors to step up. They're waiting for the parents. They're waiting for the government to step in. And over the last year and a half, it's just so true for me, my perception, and that's why I shared it last night. And I know probably the people that follow me do not want to be reading that shit. You know, when I'm like, no one's coming. There never has been anyone coming, and there never will be anyone coming except yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you have to take responsibility for your own life and everything that you have chosen, because you mentioned before about choices, how people have chose where they're sort of that side or that side, you know, am I going to lean into this uncomfortability or this uncertainty or this fear or this unknown and let go, or am I going to retreat from it all? And even myself, I spent probably the first year of the last 18 months, you know, standing up, just fucking shouting it from the rooftops, like, wake up, everybody. This is the start. It's going to get fucking heavy. My perception. This is not about a virus. It's not about health. This is a big fucking agenda that's steamrolling through the world. And once you can realize that, then you can make the appropriate choices, because you can see potentially what's coming. And then over the last sort of 4 or 5 months, I'm like, okay, I've experienced what that was like to be that person on the front of the lines. And now I've consciously chosen to experience pretty much the opposite, where sort of disappearing into the realm of, okay, well, what's important for me now? You know, do I keep shouting and yelling? Or have I experienced that, and what else is there to experience? Okay, let's put a hat on where it's probably what most people don't expect from me, and even I didn't expect it from me. But it's like, I'm going to wear a different. I try out a different mask or wear a different hat at the moment and see how that feels. And there might come a point in time where that doesn't feel congruent anymore or authentic. But right now it feels really authentic, and just doing a post like that last night, it felt right. There was no hesitation, but I knew that it would probably trigger a lot of people. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but I wanted to explore this with you about the different, that it's okay to change your path or direction without even having to explain it to anybody. And because I'll just finish this off, because I saw this happen today with a friend of mine. He decided to do something, but then he wanted to explain why he did something. And I said to him yesterday, I said, you never have to explain yourself for the decisions that you make if they're not going to impact anybody else, you know. So take what I've just said and dissect that into a spiritual or emotional realm for people to digest, and offer people I don't want to say offer them, but potentially give people the permission to try different things that maybe they haven't done before, which is even more uncomfortable. Let it go.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Well, I think a key place to start with is to get really clear on what your intention is. So, I like they discussed an issue. You were out there charging, you know, front there, battle armor on, and then decided, okay, maybe, you know, whatever your intention was, maybe this isn't the best way for me to bring it to the world, and maybe it's time for a shift. And so, the first thing is to get really clear on, like, you might have one intention, and that is to fight for something, for freedom, for critical thinking, whatever it is that you want to fight for. And for me, you know, I stand for freedom of choice and critical thought and being more open-minded. And so initially I had a similar sort of urge where I was, because in Australia also, we tend to be kind of, we kind of go with things a bit like, oh, it'll be all right. And we've gone with a lot. And there's not much really, you know, people are really standing up. And I was like, well, fuck, like, okay, like, do I have to start getting standing up heavier for what I believe? And I sort of, I initially went down that a little bit. And I was like, okay, this is actually what I was doing was actually just causing more fear and confusion and conflict. And I was like, that's not what my intention is. And I had to go back to my intention. It was like, okay, this is what it is that I'm standing for. How do I do this? And I actually had a similar shift to you where I'm now just doing what I do and sharing messages that are going to help people deal with and come to a decision themselves and go through this challenging period in a way, as opposed to trying to enforce my view on, you know, certain people. And a big part that ties into being able to shift direction also ties into the ability to be aware of when you are coming from ego or not. And because, you know, ego's own main interest in the concept that I talk about here is about reinforcing and protecting the self and the identity of the self. And so often for a lot of people, this is when you can find, you know, you're in an argument and that clicks where you're like, oh, actually, maybe I'm not quite right here. Just landed. And you're like, nah, but I've got to keep going. You kick your heels in and you keep going. That's when you're driven by ego. And there's a little party. It's like, there might be another way here. Maybe I can admit that what I was trying was fine. Maybe it didn't work. Maybe I can try something else. So when you're able to be okay with that and go, you know what? Based on what I'm intending to do here, that view, that way, maybe it wasn't working, let's try something else. That's powerful. Someone who's able to adapt and change and go, you know what, this thing here isn't working, let's move over here. For me, that's not the sign that you failed in what you were trying the first way. For me, that's a sign of that you are aware enough and open-minded enough and powerful enough to take a different track and have people that initially were, you know, backing you in that direction go, oh, hang on a second, what's he doing here? And go, I'm just doing this because it's what feels right to me now. I look at that as a powerful move as opposed to a confusing move of weakness. So we're going to have to with what's going on. There's new information coming out. If you hold on to one thing and stick to it so hard, you're going to find yourself in terms of if it's too high level, you're going to find yourself in some trouble. And be clear on what you're fighting for and standing for. And I think that's when you can remain. If you're like, this is what I fight for, this is what I stand for, and the way I deliver this is going to change depending on how I see fit. So that's kind of how I took what you were chatting about.
I wanted to ask you a question because it's an interest. You use the word fight, and I've seen it so often over the last year and a half, and it's interesting. Before, let's say pre. Pandemic. I always had this sort of the belief that fighting was a triggering word for me. More of the concept that we need to be able to fight for something. You know, it already conjures up, and I've never enjoyed watching a boxing fight or anything like that. I think, how could anybody get pleasure from watching one human bash another person's face in or body in to the point where it's either bruised or bleeding or that person is inflicting pain on the other? I know they've free will and they've chosen to do it, so good on to them. But for me to watch it, it really challenges me because I'm like, I can't see any joy from hurting somebody else. So maybe that notion about fighting, and I wanted to ask you from a Vedic or from a spiritual point of view, how do we reconcile that word fight, and or how do you define the word fight in when you're talking to your clients or even talking to yourself, especially when there's something like this, I will fight for this. And I know nature, there's fighting in nature. I was just watching this beautiful big kite the other day, which is a predatory bird that just came onto our property for a couple of weeks made itself known as a huge, big. I'd never seen a bird with such power and grace and just commanded respect from all the other birds in the area. And it put all the other birds on notice. It wanted to eat their young or and I actually watched the fight or the defense from a lot of the birds against this new predator. So I know in nature that fighting is part of reality, you know, it's survival. But I also want to understand it from a human and spiritual point of view, what the fight means.
I think it ties in a little bit to what I was alluding to before around in terms of what does fighting mean? Are you fighting for the sake of? Are you fighting to attack someone else? That's that, you know, the boxing thing, like are you just fighting to attack someone and hurt someone? Or are you fighting to stand for something, standing for your values, standing for, fighting for, you know, your family, fighting for, you know, your survival? And I look at it, it's really, really clear. I think it's really clear in that just to go, okay, if I'm going to fight here, what's why? Why am I fighting? And I think if you can really clearly articulate, and this will tie into another bit, which is also, I guess, well, men and women, but even the word fight and anger and aggression, for a lot of us, especially, and this is something I've experienced personally, and for men, has had a negative stigma around it, because it's always, you know, you don't, you know, you shouldn't fight and be aggressive, and because yes, it can be destructive. However, we've got to be careful that we don't lose our ability to, because anger and aggression are natural emotions that it's okay to feel. It's what we do with those emotions, and what I've seen a lot of is people who now something angers them, and I shouldn't fight. I don't want to have conflict. You know, I don't want to show any kind of aggression, and so they will repress that, right? And you hold on to that whatever it is, because you haven't allowed yourself to express it in a healthy way with a certain situation. Now, that's still within us. We hold on to that urge to fight for something or to be angry about something. And if we don't allow ourselves to be naturally expressed in some avenue, it's going to come up when we can't control it. And this is when it becomes dangerous. So a big part of also being able to embody that level of fight in a healthy manner and for something of meaning and of value is really, really powerful in the way I look at things as well. So it's like the ability to know when to step into, okay, I'm going to step into this kind of, you know, which is fine, or do I step into something different and allow that to be expressed in a different way? So it's really, really interesting. And it's the idea of fighting for me, it's shifted. It used to be, because when I was younger, I was a bit of a aggressive, ego-driven, arrogant sports guy and fighting. I was fighting to validate myself as a tough guy. And because I had repressed anger, I hadn't expressed in other ways. And that's why I was fighting. I've now spent years working through that. And now I'm a reasonably, you know, cruisy kind of guy, but I will fight for something I truly believe in. And that I think is, really, really important for us to hold on to, that we still have that ability in all of us to fight for life. Or fight for something that we truly believe in. And, you know, even in the terms of when you look at, you know, nature, we're always, I love looking at the concept, we're always operating one of three systems. So we're in creation, we're in maintenance, or in destruction. And often as human beings, we will fight against the natural flow of nature. We look at things as good and bad. They aren't. They're just going through one of those cycles. Now, as human beings, we are very good at the creation part. We like to have new stuff come in. Yep, more, 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 more. And then we want to maintain hold, right? Hold, 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 and then try to ram more in it. And we'll fight to keep that. Now, that's also fighting against the flow of nature, which then normally makes way for destruction. Now, destruction, if you look at nature, is a tree fights its way to the top, you know, through the grass, and it's grown. And then we're like, wow, that's a fight for life. And then it maintains and it has this beautiful form for years. And then after a while, destruction comes in and it dies, and the bark and the leaves all fall on the ground, and it makes space for something new to be created. And similar in whether it's relationships, you know, thought processes, so beliefs and ways we're doing things, you know, it's maintaining the same all the time isn't always healthy. It can change, let things go, allow space, something new. And this is another really, really interesting concept, which is a really great one now as well, to look at, okay, where am I maintaining unhealthily or trying to fight unhealthily to keep things the way they were? And when can I allow for, you know, destruction to come through? And just because the only way we're going to create space, something new, is destruction. And even looking at the bigger scale of things now, are we going through a phase of destruction now where it's going to be like universe is coming in and going, we're going to fuck some shit up here? Because, you know, if we're trying to hang on to the way things were for too long, the universe tends to come in and give you a little tap and we sweat, like gives you a little nudge. And you get people like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like in a relationship, for example, we could talk about the way the world's been going is like a relationship we try to maintain, you know, keep things pretty level. And we get a little tap and there's things start coming through the seams in the relationship. And it's like, oh, I've realized I started acting a bit like this. I don't really like it. And I'll just let that go. We'll just keep going. We'll just maintain because it's safe. And we keep going. And then you get another smack. And then something bigger happens and it starts to really impact you, the way they behaved or something they did. You're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. We'll just keep going. We'll maintain. And then the universe is like, And what will come in then is it's a big smack. And then you'll find out they're cheating on you or something big's happened or a big argument will blow up. And that's nature coming in and destruction. Because you weren't able to let go and let things happen in its own way. And it's really interesting to see in your mind, like, where are you allowing each of these things to play, and as opposed to judging things as good or bad, and where you're allowing yourself to move with the flow of nature. So I kind of went on a slightly different path after the first section after that question, but it just sort of dropped in and thought it was an interesting thing to weave in.
So tell me where you think we are. I mean, nature's giving us a little push or a nudge or a shove into the destruction of the old systems or the old guard and the way it was. And I had a conversation recently with a friend and just said, you know, it isn't coming back. Whatever you just experienced for the last 5-10 years, that isn't coming back or for your life. We're going into a different realm now that's uncertain. You know, there's certain agendas at play, and, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to manifest, but if you still believe that things are going to get back to normal in a month or 2 months, you know, if they're saying however many percentage of the population are vaccinated, then things will go back to normal. I said, I don't think it's going to work like that. It just doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel like that's the trust in the elected officials. That trust is gone, basically. So how do you, as a person that has been doing the work over the years, again, maintain, I don't want to say a positive outlook, because that can be a misleading and false philosophy. But how do you stay centered or balanced to the best of your ability while there is so much chaos or uncertainty and destruction taking place around you?
So the one part of that is to really maintain a level of awareness around what I can control and where I'm placing my energy. And what I can't control is what's getting thrown on the news and all that kind of bullshit and blah, blah. Like, I can't control that. I can control how I respond to it. I can control if I spend, you know, if I spend my time watching the news on the TV, which I don't, the TV's off, we don't watch TV ever in here, you know. And what I can control is where I'm investing my time. So what am I doing? I'm investing my time, like I meditate twice a day, religiously, because that stabilizes my nervous system. It gets me out of fear. You know, where am I investing my time throughout my days? I'm learning and growing. So at the end of this time, I can look back and go, wow, that 18 months, I invested my time and I took out of it what I could. Now, another really important thing is to also really remain aligned to your values and what you can contribute to the world. If you're, and this ties on to a little bit about you're saying about waiting, you know, what, how someone's going to come save me. It's like, that's not going to happen. And this is where we're always like, we always want to, what can we get from the world? What can we get? If you can flip that to what?
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.